So, I want to ask the question that maybe some of us have tackled, tried to tackle before. Did the Avos keep the Torah? Some of us are familiar with certain statements that seem to indicate that the Avos did keep the Torah. Others think it's hard to conceive of the possibility that every little detail of the Torah the Avos kept. Could they celebrate Pesach when there was no Pesach? Do they really keep the Parah Aduma? Like, what does this mean? They kept the whole Torah. So I'm going to try to look at certain psukim, and then in the Torah, ask a few questions. Look at a Rashi and then ask a few questions, and then develop six approaches regarding whether the Avos kept the Torah. In last week's parsha, when Hashem refers to Avraham, he says, "Ki yedativ l'man asher tzav es bano ves beiso achra b'shamu derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat." That Avram would teach his descendants to engage in charity and righteousness, or righteousness and justice. So in Parshas Vayera, it seems, there doesn't seem to be an indication when Avram is described as what he's going to teach his descendants is anything having to do with, let's say, chukim, any statutes, any ritual laws. It just seems that he will teach his descendants what we, I guess, like to refer to as ethical monotheism, being ethical, believe maybe. And I guess tzedakah mishpat is derech Hashem, the way of God is tzedakah mishpat. So believe in one God, tying to ethics and morality and justice. There doesn't seem to be any indication that the Avos kept the Torah. However, in the however, Avraham is referred to as someone, because this is, we're done with him in this week's parsha, and we refer to Avraham as Ekev Asher Shama Avraham Bikoli Vayishmor Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai. So Avraham is someone who follows the God's voice, Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai. So again, this is actually in next week's parsha, but since this is the last parsha dealing with Avraham, I want to sort of go through this question here. And if we we ref, we Rashi, what he says that Avraham is someone who listened to Vishmor Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai. So he is someone who is, at least the way Rashi says that he is so, Shama Avraham Bikoli Kisheni Sisio. So when I tested him, Vayishmor Mishmarti, he referred to Gzeros. These are decrees. Seems the rabbinic decrees. Shnios LaRayos Shavus LaShabbos. Rabbinic decrees relating to Shabbos. Mitzvosai, my mitzvos. Gezel Shvichus Dabim, theft and murder. Chukosai refers to things that the Yetzer Hara and the Umos HaOlam respond to them, that can respond to them, like eating pork, wearing shatnez. There's no real reason for this. And Sorosai refers to Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, so this is the Rashi that sort of seems to indicate that Avraham Avinu, kept the Torah. What are some questions, if Avraham Avinu really kept the Torah, what are some questions that we could ask? If Avraham Avinu really kept, if the Avos kept the Torah, what would be some questions on that?
How was he able to marry a non-Jewish woman?
I guess no one was Jewish, right? I guess no one was Jewish then, right?
How did Yaakov marry two
Right,
sisters?
right. So the classic question is, how could Yaakov marry two sisters, right? I'm sorry. Right, it could be how could the children of how could the children of how could Yaakov's children marry Canaanim? Were they allowed to do that? Amram married his aunt Yocheved. So how do we deal with the fact is
or that Abraham took chema of a bakar, you know, to feed the malachim?
Yeah, that you can argue that he I think someone argued that he gave them dairy first and then meat, or maybe he fed it to the he knew there were angels, maybe. So you can get around that maybe. But there are, since we're leaving, so there are six different approaches.
Plus, the Torah wasn't given until many years later. You know?
I understand, but this idea that Avram kept all these mitzvos, Rashi seems to indicate that Avram did keep mitzvos of pork, not eating pork, wearing shatnez, even though it wasn't given later. He's saying, and in other words, in last week's parsha, we have Avram being son of tzedakah and mishpat. In next week's parsha, we have Avram who's vayishmor mishmarti mitzvosai chukosai v'sorosai, that he engages in a lot of things which seem to indicate real mitzvos. And then we have the problem though that it seems that, let's say, Yaakov Avinu married two sisters, which seems to go against the Torah. So, how do we understand did the Avos keep the Torah, did not keep the Torah? How do we understand this all? So, again, six approaches. Okay? So, what are some approaches? How do we understand? What would you say?
Well, the Ramban says that only in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay. So, maybe they only keep the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Anything else? Good. We got one. We have five more to go. Okay. We're going to get to that. We'll get to that. Ramban will be the last one that we're going to discuss. So the what approach?
It could be that they were captured things, and then on Hasinai, Hashem said, "Yes, I agree with what has been doing all along."
What does that mean? So they were not commanded; they just willingly, voluntarily accepted.
They were willingly voluntarily, and on Hasinai, Hashem said, "I agree with what they've been doing."
Right, but then did Yaakov then? So how did Yaakov marry two sisters? You'll have to deal with that question.
Yeah, right.
So
the Ramban, you know what I mean?
Okay, so you have the Ramban. Okay, we have six different approaches here. We'll get to the Ramban at the end, but we'll get to them. So the first approach, Rabbi Eliezer, this is from Avos Rab Nasan. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Gedolahi Malacha, Shafila Adam Harishon Lo Tam Klum, Ela. So it says that Adam Harishon didn't taste anything, Ela Ad Sham Asa Malacha, till he did work. Hashem placed Adam in Gan Eden to work the land, to guard the land. And he says, did he really need to love the Lashom, to work the land, to guard the land? So Ela Lamod al Devarav, Shinemar, as Hashem Elokecha Tirav Oso Tavod. So when it says that Avram Avinu was told to work La Avod, it means to fear God. And that's Vizeo Avoda. So the Avos Rav Nasan seems to indicate is one statement here, and there are other statements in Chazal which indicate that Adam Arishon was even commanded to do mitzvos. La'avdo L'shomer actually refers to doing mitzvos. So this approach suggests that they were mitzuva. They were commanded as individuals. Now, how can they marry two sisters? So then what you have to do is every time that the Avos may have done something that was be connected halacha against the Torah, you have to try to find a way to say it was not against the Torah. So for example, Rav Yosef Bechor Shor says, Venira, the Rachel and Leah hayu mishtei nashim. The Rachel and Leah were from two wives. They had the same father, Lavan, but they had different mothers. V'goy ein bana miyachasim achrav el achrei ha'em. That when it comes to yichus for a non-Jew, we go by the mother. So basically, v'lachach nesam Yaakov ki mekaimei Torah ha'yavoseinu. Our avos kept the Torah, but Yaakov married them because since Rachel and Leah were half-sisters, they had the same father but not the same mother, so halachically there's no problem for Yaakov to marry them. That's one approach. So one approach, first approach is, Adam was commanded in all the mitzvahs. And then you have to explain every time that it seems that they committed a sin, so you have to explain it. So this is an example of one way to deal with it.
Is there any hint of that in the Torah before?
There's no, but there's he says Venera, it seems to me. So he's struggling with this. That's what he has to say. He has to say, because all we know in the Torah is that they had the same father. We don't know if they had the same mother. So he's stuck with this question. And so that's how he deals with it. The Mishnah in Kiddushin says, Matzinu Sha'asa Avram Avinu as Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shel Nitna. We find that Avram Avinu observed the whole Torah before it was given. Shenemar Eikav Sher Shema Avram Bekoli Vayishmor Mishmarti Mitzvah Sai Chukosai Vesarosai. The second approach says that the Avos were not commanded to observe the Torah, but they willingly accepted to observe the Torah. It's not clear, by the way, from Rashi in next week's Parsha, whether Rashi, what opinion Rashi has. Is Rashi's opinion that Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah willingly, like it was his own acceptance, or was he commanded? Just not clear from this approach. But I'm saying within the approach that the Avos kept the entire Torah, there are two different approaches. Either they were commanded, and even Adam Rishon was commanded. And the second approach is that it was willingly, right? And then you ask, Heach Hashvatim, the Das Kanim, for example, says, Heach Hashvatim Nasu Ach Yosei V'Gam Yaakov Heach Nasa Shtei Achios Bechayeyam. How could the tribes marry their sisters? According to one approach, the Shvatim married their sisters. And how could Yaakov marry two sisters in their lives when they're both living? So you can say that when the Avos kept the entire Torah, no, doesn't mean they kept the entire Torah. It means they accepted a lot of the Torah, but not the whole Torah. So what did they accept? What did they not accept? Not so clear. But again, you can say that they kept the entire, that they were commanded the entire Torah, then you have to find it out for every time that they seemingly violate halacha. And maybe they, if you say they willingly accepted the entire Torah, but maybe it wasn't the entire Torah, they willingly accepted most of the Torah. Now, you could take a position that the mitzvos in the Torah are meaningful and beneficial for the klal in general. Maybe a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there may not be so beneficial to me as an individual, but that's irrelevant. Now, mitzvahs are given to us as a nation, right? There are many secular laws, you know, in this country that are beneficial for us as a nation, but maybe for me or for you, individuals, may not. I might choose a different law, but it's beneficial for us as a nation. So it could be that the Avos, they had the leeway to say, you know what, this particular mitzvah right now, this is not beneficial for me. For all of Klal Yisrael later, it's beneficial, but for me, I need to marry two, or maybe I need to marry two sisters because I need to make sure I have all the shvatim. Whatever the reason is. So they had some flexibility because it was based on a willing acceptance and not obligation. So that's approach number two. Third approach, Chizkuni says, very simply, Ekev Sheshama Avram Bekoli Zo Akeda. He explains the whole section of next week's Parsha, that Avram listened to the voice, is nothing to do with Torah mitzvos. Ekev Sheshama Avram Bekoli, that's the Akeda. It's not referring to mitzvos. If I Yishmor Mishmarti, this is Bris Mila. Mitzvosai, my mitzvos, what does it mean? The fact that I have mitzvah on the eighth day. Chukosai is that when he commanded that his descendants will be circumcised. And what's Torosai? My Torahs? That's Lech Lecha, go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that's the Lashon of Hora'a. You want to say that Hora'a, that's referring to go to Eretz Yisrael. Or maybe Chukosai is also L'Shem Mitzvah B'nei Noach. So the Chizkuni basically says the Avos did not keep they didn't keep the whole Torah. But what about next week's Parsha, all these different words? He says they refer to different commandments in Avram's life. And, you know, the voice of the Akedah, Mishmarti is Mila, Mitzvosai is Mila on the eighth day, Chukosai, the descendants will be circumcised, Torosai is Lech Lecha, and, or maybe Torosai refers to the Chukosai, the Mitzvosai and Chukosai refer to the Shemitz of Bnei Noach. It's a third approach. They were commanded all the mitzvos, They willingly accepted all the mitzvos. They didn't keep any of the mitzvos. Three different approaches. And it's a question of how you read that pasuk in next week's parsha. The Ramah has a fascinating approach. It says, Va'afagav the darshin and Ekev Asher Shema Avram Bekoli, even though we darshin this pasuk of Ekev Asher Shema Avram Bekoli, Melamed Sheshamar Avram Afilu Eruv Tavshilin. Im Kain, so it sees, oh wait, Avram kept even Eruv Tavshilin. Shmamina Shehaya Noheg Kefi HaTorah VaMitzvah Afilu Mitzvah Midrabanan. That Avram even kept even Mitzvah Midrabanan. Mikol Makom, nevertheless, Nuchal Omar, we can say, Imu Shamar, maybe if he kept the Torah, Anche Beso Lo Shamaru, Rakachok HaNimusei HaNimser Lahem, the Hainu Zayim Ismei Noach. Maybe only Avram kept the entire Torah, but his descendants did not keep the entire Torah. He kept, next week's Parsha says, he kept all these, the detailed laws, the Chukim, the Drabanans, and everything. But last week's parsha, it says Veshamu Derech Shem Lasso Tzak Mishpat. He's going to command his descendants to keep just the Shem Isbei Noach. To me, Lanu Gadol Merenu Avinu Yaakov Asher Nasa Shtei Achyos. Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. So how can you say they kept the entire Torah? So he reads it as Avram. So Lemana Sher Yitzave Lo Koy Raka Osen Shem Isbei Noach. So in last week's parsha, Lamana Shiritzavis Banaves Beso Veshamu Derech Hashem, that's referring to his descendants keeping Shem Mitzvah Bnei Noach. In next week's parsha, Veishmor Mishmarti Mesayim Sosayim Chukosai, that's referring to Avram Avinu. Okay, so we have four approaches. First approach, Avram was commanded, Adam Arishan even was commanded to do all the mitzvos. Second approach, the Avos accepted the Torah and mitzvos willingly. Third approach, the Avos did not observe the mitzvos at all. And next week's parsha is not referring to mitzvos, the mitzvos of the Torah. And the fourth approach is Avram kept all the mitzvos, but not his descendants. Fifth approach, the Rashbam. Rashbam wants to say, Ekev Asher Shema Avram Bekoli, Al HaAkedah. This is referring to the Akedah. Vayishmor Mishmarti, a bris mila. Mitzvosai, okay, that's mila of the eighth day. Chukosai visorosai, lefi ikar pshuto, kol ha mitzvos hanikaros. All recognizable mitzvos. Kagod, gezel, varayos, vechibud, vedini, vachnosis, orchim. What do you think that means? Mitzvos that are nikaros, mitzvos that are understandable, like theft and arayos and coveting that which is not yours, and just basic social justice, you know, judicial laws, inviting guests. Kulam hayunogim kodem matan Torah. They were all observed before matan Torah. Essentially, what the Rashbam says is that the Avos only observed certain mitzvos, but which ones? B'dom l'chaveiro. Okay? So he's a little broader than saying that, no, the Avos didn't keep any mitzvos. Right? He doesn't say what the Chizkuni did to explain that what Avram kept were, you know, different specific commands that Hashem issued to him. But the Rashbam understands Chukosai v'sorosai means that, yeah, the Avos kept ethics and morality. As the Rashbam is basically looking at last week's parsha, v'shamu derech Hashem l'asot tzedako mishpat. The Avos kept tzedako mishpat, mitzvos bein Adam l'chaveiro, plus specific mitzvos that Hashem commanded him. So this could explain how Yaakov can marry two wives, and the Shvatim can marry their sisters, and maybe Canaanite wives, and how Amram can marry his aunt. Because again, it was that those things weren't forbidden before Matan Torah. And the sixth approach, the final approach, is the Ramban, as Baruch mentioned. V'nirei lai midas Rabbi Seni Shalomad Avram Avinu HaTorah Kula Ruach HaKodesh. That Avram Avinu learned the entire Torah in Ruach HaKodesh. V'asak ba And he occupied himself in it and in the reason of its mitzvos and its secrets. He accepted it as if someone is not obligated. And he observed it only in Eretz Yisrael. And Yaakov Avinu, he married the sisters outside Eretz Yisrael. V'chein Amram. Because the mitzvos are really supposed to be observed in Eretz Yisrael. And this position by the Ramban, who says that the Avos only kept the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, not outside Eretz Yisrael, is related to something that the Ramban writes in Parshas Achrei Mos. In Parshas Achrei Mos, he writes that the Sifrei says that afal pi shani megala eschem, he says, if you don't do Torah mitzvos, second paragraph of Shema, vavate mehera me'alas tova asher Hashem nosein lachem, we're going to exile you from the lands. And he says, afal pi shani megala eschem in aretz lachutz laretz, hoyu mitzuyunim v'mitzvos. Shem says that in Parshas, the Sifrei says, based on the second paragraph of Parshas Shema, even if I exile you from the land, you still have to keep the mitzvos. Why? Shekishetachzu lo yuhu aleichem chadashim. You don't have to inherently keep the mitzvos outside Eretz Yisrael. It's just that when you return, it's not going to be something new. Masha la'adam shekas al ishto. It's a parable to a master who gets angry at his wife. V'sholcha le'beis avia. He sends her to her father's house. Amar la, heve miskashetes tachshitim. Continue wearing your jewelry. Shekishetachziri lo yu'alach chadashim. So it won't be new when you come back to my house. So Vidya Kosiv Shower Vatim Hair Santis Vaila Aino Mechaye Bagalus El Bachovas Aguf Bitfilin Mezuz. You don't have to keep all mitzvot, but just the ones that are on your body, like Tfilin Mezuzos. But what's the reason? A Perishabem Kadeshlo Yu Khadashim Alainu Kishenach Sor Laretz. So they're not new when you return to Eretz Yisrael. Ki ikar kol mitzvos la yushvi baaretz Hashem. Because the real essence of the mitzvos are only for us who are living in Eretz Yisrael. It's kind of hard for us living outside Eretz Yisrael. But the Ramban is of the opinion that the real observance of mitzvot are supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael. So it kind of makes sense that he's also the one to say if the reason why you observe mitzvot is outside Eretz Yisrael is just to, so like when we return to Eretz Yisrael, it won't be new. We'll be used to it. But so the real essence of keeping Torah mitzvot are in Eretz Yisrael. So it makes sense then, it's consistent with what he says, the Avos only felt compelled to keep the Torah mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael and not outside Eretz Yisrael. Again, it doesn't answer everything, but it answers at least Yaakov marrying two sisters. So I've shared with you six approaches that the Avos were commanded to keep Torah mitzvos, and even Adam and Rishon was. The Avos accepted it willingly, but maybe not all the mitzvos. The Avos did not observe the mitzvos, therefore they could marry, Yaakov could marry two wives. Only Avram observed the mitzvos and not his descendants. The Avos only observed certain mitzvos, only, let's say, Biram Lachavero type mitzvos. And maybe the Avos only observed the mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael. I'd like to finish with the following comment. And that is, what is the difference if the Avos were commanded, as it's a minority view, let's say, in the Midrashim, or like many Midrashim, like many Mefarshim, like the Ramban and others who say that the Avos freely observe the mitzvos. What does that say about our religion? So Rav Lichtenstein has a nice article on the significance of Torah values. And he writes the following. He says, if values have binding force like mitzvah, he says, like, what does it mean? The Torah also says sometimes, Torah says you're supposed to do this mitzvah, that mitzvah, another mitzvah. And sometimes the Torah says, you should fear God. You should love God. Like, values. You should be holy. So, he says, if values have binding force like mitzvahs, why then were we not commanded about values in a direct manner as we were commanded about the mitzvahs? Now, as we learn, you should have certain values. You should be holy. It's not commanded in a very direct way like regular mitzvahs. So he says, I wish to suggest an answer to this question based on the words of Rav Avyasal Cohen Cook. He says, indeed, the Avos fulfilled the Torah out of free internal recognition. That this benefit should not be missing from a great part of the moral realm. This is the foundation of the hidden parts of the Torah that emerge as traits of piety and actions that go beyond the letter of the law. He's talking about Lifnim Mishur HaSadid. He says the following: that which must attach itself to the law through voluntary giving of the spirit and freedom of the good must come as an act of piety. In other words, he says, one cannot measure the magnitude of the laws that human culture would suffer if these virtues were set as fixed obligations. And there are certain things that have to be obligated in the Torah, but there's also a value to having Torah values that we learn, like Lifni Mishur HaSadin, and other values about loving Hashem, being holy, which are not explicitly commanded, that we develop ourselves. And Rav Lichtenstein writes, only that which is most essential for present physical moral life, and which if weakened harms the roots of the future, becomes law. And about which is when Gedola Mitzvah Vosa, Mishena Mitzvah Vosa. There are certain things that have to be commanded, because if we're not commanded to do certain things, we may not do them ever. But that which penetrates to the depth of good as it stands and spreads its dew of life merits to be fixed as voluntary in love of kindness. This is the fate of duties beyond the letter of the law, which will be of great benefit when men's heart of stone will turn into a heart of flesh. In other words, there are certain values that it's better that they're not commanded, and we develop on our own through our life experience. Through following Torah, we develop good moral values. There's value to developing values that are not commanded, but we develop through our own internal motivation. He says, therefore, that part which remains beyond the letter of the law must remain in that state. As humanity elevates itself, the qualities of piety will go out from the private to the public domain and will belong to the entire people, and all your children shall be taught by Hashem. The ideal situation would have been for man to fulfill all the mitzvos out of internal motivations. It would have been better had we just willingly accepted the Torah, saw what's best for us, as the Avos did, not out of coercion. Hashem anticipated which things man should fulfill out of coercion and which out of internal identification. Those things that were left in the category of pious behavior and were not formally established as mitzvahs remain connected to our moral development. It is of great importance that values stemming from moral characteristics should flow from our internal self and not from any external imperative. Restricting oneself to formal adherence to the defined mitzvahs and codified law will come at the cost of developing moral aspirations for justice and uprightness. If the religious world, the individual Jew and the Jewish people as a whole, is restricted to formal molds, it will strangle feelings of justice and uprightness. Leaving room for moral personality of the individual and the nation may lead to worship of God and a full moral identification. In other words, what Lichtenstein is saying is the following: ideally, we should serve God like the Avos, out of internal motivation. It's important for us to develop ourselves, to develop feelings of righteousness and justice. That which we needed to be obligated to do, we're commanded. But it's critical, as religious Jews, to develop values. The Avos did it with respect to mitzvos, to all mitzvos, or some mitzvos at least. And we should do it with respect to values, Lifni Mishur HaSadin, or other types of Kedoshim Ti, notion of Kedoshim Ti, being holy. The goal for us in this world, I think, is to model the Avos according to this approach. That we have to understand that we have to observe Halacha, but we also have to strive to be just and good, even beyond that which is explicitly commanded. The point being is that the Halacha is the floor, not the ceiling. And the Avos teach us that the way that we should live as observant Jews is not only follow the halacha, but develop a sense of morality and justice based on Torah values. And the process of developing a moral sense is part of what it means to be a religious personality.